fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God our King, and peace to man on earth.
On the third.
How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Praise the Lord. Today, you all may be seated. Appreciate again that we could celebrate Bethlehem today again. So if you have a Bible, open it up, please, to the book of Micah and chapter 5. And I appreciate our confession to make. First off, is I didn't get or couldn't remember some of Dave's one-liners up here that he gives. And so I actually went back on Facebook to look at a couple previous to dig them back out. The one about the audiobook I liked and couldn't remember. So
I can't, I'll never hear the end of it.
You can never hear the
end of it. But I'll be honest with you, sometimes the Good Samaritan Baptist Church people are like,
absolutely.
The remarkable one. That's the funniest.
Remarkable. One. That was remarkable. Yep. Praise the Lord. So, in that vein, a priest, a preacher, and a rabbit went into the doctor's clinic to get some blood work done. And the nurse there asked the rabbit, "So what is your blood type?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "I think I'm a typo." Well, that was from my son-in-law. That was grandson-in-law, I guess. That it just went right over everyone's head for a long time out in Ohio. So praise the Lord. And some of you still probably didn't get that yet, but I ain't going to explain it. So I appreciate, again, somehow the lack of humor that we've had at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and again, that we could learn to laugh and rejoice together again is a good thing. Praise the Lord. I was talking to a preacher. I forgot where he was now, but he came up here and was talking about how stoic Yankees are when they worship again, and they a couple times last night in the middle of a Mennonite service, I wanted to jump up and say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everyone looks at, you know, like, who is this guy and what's he doing here? And so anyway, it's good for us again to worship. Oh, I know who it was. It was that guy from college preaching about
Davidson?
Yeah, Sam Davidson. Wow, that was good. So anyway, we need to have some life in our worship and some excitement. And I like stoic again, but it's better again to be a little rejoicing, especially here in our text, in our subject matter today. And I again have, I hope, these on slides. And I've got a little clicker that'll step us through them. And we want to look at O Little Town of Bethlehem. There we go. Okay, praise the Lord. And as we do that, let's go ahead and open our text. Remember again the wise men when they came. Again, I've dropped into not controversy, but question about how long ago it was before the wise men actually got to visit Jesus. And there's a lot of people talking about that sort of thing. So let me just go ahead and throw my opinion in. It could have been 3 days, as much as 3 days, or as much as a couple months. I do not believe it was the full month before they took Mary down for to Jerusalem to be purified. And so within a couple months, I believe that was. And people say, well, he was in a house then. You don't think she stayed in a stable for a whole week? Again, I'm sure that, again, they moved again probably as soon as possible. And he would have been in a house. And even though it didn't call him a babe, it called him a young child. There's just a bunch of things that sometimes we get off kilter and talk about, think about things that in a wrong way again. And it's good, again, to just examine some of that from the Word of God. And to keep, again, a clear mind. So today we want to look at Bethlehem and understand some things. Anyway, the wise men, when you remember, they went to the king, Herod, and they asked him, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And he didn't have a clue. I consulted the wise men, and they said, oh, he would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. Let's go ahead and look at the verse that we expect they used to demonstrate that. In the book of Micah in chapter 5. And let's just go ahead and read a few verses here. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, stretch a little bit, and again recognize the authority and blessing of being able to hold on to God's holy Word this morning. Micah chapter 5, the Bible says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." And then verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting." Father, praise you again. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the little town of Bethlehem. I pray again that it would carry more meaning after this examination from your word than it did previous in our lives. But may again all of your scriptures just hang upon our heart with a new joy and a new celebration of what you did to send your son for our redemption. We'll give you the praise now in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. You may be seated. And again, I have a whole bunch of scriptures. If I could get someone to click off that third light switch on the back wall there, that'd help me out for taking the glare off of these electronic devices I have up here. Thank you, Tracy. And so when we're looking at, again, the little town of Bethlehem here again, notice it's fitting into a sequence that I like to walk through when we look at all the events around the Christmas time and the Christmas celebration. We did go to Bethlehem back in November, and Bethlehem is not under Israel control. Consequently, Israelis, Jews, are not allowed in Bethlehem. They're forbidden to go to Bethlehem. They do not accept a Bethlehem passport. Our guide back in November had to conceal his little tassels that they have hanging out of the back, and he wore a cowboy hat rather than, or as long as well as their little skull cap. And so they're not allowed in Bethlehem. Isn't that something? Because it's controlled by the Palestinians, it's controlled by those who hate God or those who hate Israel. And so consequently, we did go, just the same, it was spoiled. It is spoiled by Catholicism. They have a big Catholic service there, and there's an ongoing fight between the three religions again, and so all of them claim that they know the exact spot where Jesus was born, and they'll make up all the stories they need to make up to prove it. So when we went, we didn't go to this town of Bethlehem. Instead, we went and met on the hillside where the shepherds were watching their flocks by night, and they had a little sanctuary set up there, and we had just an outstanding worship service in November, pressing on towards Christmas, I suppose. But again, what a tremendous thing to understand. And so when we look at this picture, I like this, because it does give you the lay of the land, and you can see that it's a very rugged land. It's mountainous. It's not part of the Fertile Crescent, as it were. It's a land for shepherds, per se. And there's some things that we want to remember about the city of Bethlehem as we walk through this understanding of O little town of Bethlehem. First, understand that Benjamin was born there. And if you remember it, Rachel, who gave birth to Benjamin there, remember we have Joseph, Rachel, who couldn't have a child, and then finally gave birth to Joseph, who was not the firstborn, like the fifthborn, if I remember right, and then Benjamin. And at the time, Isaac thought Joseph was dead. Thought that his next child, again, would be the joint heir. So in their travels, again, they came through a little town called Bethlehem. And there we find that Rachel died in childbirth. So that's where it picked up the name Bethlehem Ephrata. Also, we find out that, and so we'll look at that in just a minute, but also we found out that there is where Saul received the throne. And Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin, so his birthplace was, of course, there in Bethlehem. And so he visited there, and I don't think it's a coincidence, again, when we look at some of the surrounding, that God had Paul specifically go to Bethlehem in order to acknowledge that he would be the next king. And then, of course, we know that David, who was of the tribe of Judah, was born there. And he was the great-grandson of Boaz and Ruth. You remember Boaz and Ruth? Again, and Ruth came back to her hometown of Bethlehem and stayed there. And so those are familiar stories in the Bible that we know of. Remember, David desired water from the well that he knew so well at Bethlehem, where he had grown up, and but his men went through a past a garrison of Philistines there in order to get that drink of water, and that prompted me to say, even because of our being there, that Jews were forbidden to go into Israel without. Proper clearances and passports, and just a Israeli passport would not get them there, that the Philistines are still there, and certainly even in this day, and more so again as we see the day, 65 of the war going on for Israel. Our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, was born there, and we know that, and as I said, there's still a garrison of Philistines there. And so as we consider some things about Bethlehem, again, understand some things about a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him to be born in Bethlehem. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believing in Him is bigger than having a head knowledge. It involves putting our trust and our faith in what He did for us there at His first advent. And so the Bible continues on to say, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Your neighbors, your loved ones, your kin, they need to be saved. That's a word that's often mocked in our day and age. It's mocked even in religions. As Dave said in Sunday school this morning, a person needs to be born again, is what the Bible says. And a birth is such an apt picture of what happens when we get saved, because again, it's a new life that has begun, and we have that new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on him is not condemned, it says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so as we look again at these familiar verses, I trust even through this Christmas time that we'd have opportunity to rehearse them, including the whole Romans road, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that God commended his love towards us, and that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, and he took my place. He died for me instead of me. He took my place. And so, boy, let's rehearse those verses. Let's again be familiar with them. And rejoice in an opportunity that we might have to share that saving faith with another. Christmas is a time of gathering with family and friend. And so let's go ahead and keep those verses on our cuff of our sleeve, that we're ready to again share that gospel message. Bethlehem, also called Ephratah in Micah 5:2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah. Ephratah is a curious name. It means an ash heap, and it means a place of fruitfulness. It means a ash heap and a place of fruitfulness. Combined together, I love the Hebrew tongue a little bit, and its words especially that combine such rich meanings. And here that word Ephratah is a combination of the idea of it's an ash heap, it's no good, and it's a place of fruitfulness, a place of blessing. How is it that out of ashes comes fruitfulness? Genesis 48 verse 7 says, as for me, Jacob, when I come from Padan, Rachel died there by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, when there was but a little way to come unto Ephratah. And I buried her there in the way of Ephratah. The same is Bethlehem. Genesis 35, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, or son of my sorrows. But his father called him Benjamin, son of the right hand. And so there, prophetically, even we see the birth of Christ. We see again that though the great sorrow of Rachel's death, there is a blessing come into the world in her son, a blessing to Isaac. And so the two kings, as I said, came from Bethlehem. One of them, again, is Saul of the tribe of Benjamin. I'll not rehearse all these verses this morning for sake of time. But in 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel took a vial of oil and he anointed Samuel. I find it ironic, maybe it's me alone, but that, and if I could say this from the pulpit, I guess on tape and everything is okay, that Saul was out looking for a bunch of jackasses, and God gave him the nation of Israel that he could again rule and reign over people that God called a stiff-necked and hard-nosed people. Some of us can see the irony that's in that. But in the process of Samuel anointing Saul, he sent him on down on his way back home, and he went down through Bethlehem. And there he saw again the signs at Rachel's sepulcher, where he was set, that sure enough, this was of God, and he would be called the King of Israel. And so as we again understand that, we understand more so that David, a man called after God's own heart, was born there. He was a shepherd boy there, and Samuel went down after Saul's disappointed demise, went down and anointed David. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will see thee to Jesse in the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And so it's called the City of David. It is called again the City of Kings. David again was born there. David was anointed there to be the king. And we know again that that anointment goes again to be a forever place of the king that would sit on the throne of David. Bethlehem, the birthplace of David's great-grandfather, Boaz, a prime example of kinship redeemer. Ruth, there is born a son born to Naomi of Ruth, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Recall that Naomi went to sojourn in Moab, returned with Ruth the Moabite, and had her estate redeemed by Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Again, a story of the ash heap to a place of fruitfulness surrounding there, the place called Bethlehem. And she said unto him, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." That name Mara is not mentioned with Naomi again, because out of the ashes came fruitfulness. And then also on the bottom of that page, note again, that there's a fellow named Nahshon, and given the lineage again. And as you look at the lineage in Matthew, in fact, let's do that right now. Let's flip over to Matthew in chapter 1. I know sometimes we get really excited about reading lineages and pronouncing tons of Hebrew names. But this is a lineage worth our study again. It's where, again, God announced that his king was to be born. And if you follow down there, again, there's the begat section in Matthew chapter 1. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat. And every time you find a break in the begat sequence, I want you to look at it and understand that there's a story back in the Old Testament that's hanging on to that break in this sequence. And so here we find again the break there in verse 2. Judas begat Phares of Zarah of Thamar. And if you go back and dig around, who is this Thamar and why is she listed here in Matthew chapter 1? It's because there's a story related to that, pointing to again this lineage of Christ and who would God have in the lineage of his only begotten son. Verse 5 says, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And so we see that sequence go on. There's one here I wanted to mention. Verse 4 says, Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. Verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And so again, there's a break in the sequence there of the begats, and boy, there's a story to be told. And I believe that Nahshon's son was one of the spies that went into Jericho and was hid by the harlot that was there, and came back and ended up marrying her again. That's a good story again to follow through. But here we find again that I don't know that it was a spy. The spies are not named, but boy, it sure fits to make a love story again. That Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and then Boaz begat Obed. And so notice the genealogies coming through there. Nahshon, of course, was the leader who led them up out of Egypt. Nahshon was the first one of the tribe of Judah to step out and to cross the Red Sea. He was the first, again, of the tribe of Judah, again, as they stepped on. And so he was the leader of the tribe of Judah in their departure from Egypt. And so you can look on down through the rest of that lineage and see, again, all the breaks in the lineage and understand that there's a Bible story related to that. So Bethlehem is called the House of Bread. And remember, again, even the story of Ruth and Boaz, that she left the House of Bread and sojourned for a while in Moab. And then think about that analogy of the house of bread as we have it on slide here. John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, verses are important in your Bible. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, it says in John 6, verse 50, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Notice that we see in John chapter 6 a verse. In fact, it's one of the few verses that's labeled 666 in your Bible. John 6 verse 66. It's a sad verse. And again, you find that not many followed him. After he gave that teaching about being the bread of life, that's where Jesus asked his disciples, saying, will you also go away? And Peter responds that thou hast the words of life. What a tremendous accounting again. But notice again that he is from Bethlehem, the city of bread. Bethlehem, and where David desired water from its well. And we looked at that a little bit. After he got the water, notice that again, he poured it out and said he was unworthy to drink of what his men risked their very lives to get. Bethlehem brought us Jesus Christ, the living water. I got a series I'll be teaching this week on the I Ams in the Bible. Wow, what a tremendous thing that Jesus said, I am. And I've given some of the Hebrew to help with that, that when God said in Exodus chapter 3, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And he said, I am, and that was his name. And interesting, in the Hebrew word there for I am is uses pretty much the same letters, the same sequence of letters as his personal name, Jehovah, that they're not allowed to pronounce. Also, where we see it again is all capital L-O-R-D, all caps in our Bible. That's the personal name of God. Was not to be pronounced by the Hebrews, and they did not pronounce that unless they pronounced it to God in prayer is the only time they would say that name. And so it was not pronounced. A lot of the modernists think it's Yahweh. So they have a new international version of the Bible, and they have a new international language. And so stick with the word Jehovah and understand that they... the scholars, modernist ecumenical scholars of our day now have tried to substitute Yahweh, but certainly we understand that the old Jehovah for English speakers is the personal name of God. And it rhymes with, in Hebrew, it rhymes with, I am the. I am the. And so you watch for the use of that word, and especially in the Gospel of John, where it says, I am the door, I am the way, I am the bread of life, I am the living water. Every time he said that, every Hebrew, every Jew, every scribe, especially every Pharisee, just quaked inside, because he's claiming himself to be God. He's claiming again a title that they were so reverently avoiding, and that rhymed with, again, the I am the. And Jesus remarkably used that over and over again. Here it is again, John 4:10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift that God, who it is that saith to thee, gives me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so we see again a claim here right out of Bethlehem that he is the living water. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And we're to be that. We're to be a river of living water. So how is it that Christ, out of the ashes come the fullness? We got to look at some verses in Isaiah 54. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Again, Bethlehem, Ephratah. We've got some familiar verses we've already read that speaks again of the Son being born. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Yea, the zeal of the Lord of hosts did perform that. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. There's still a garrison of Philistines there in Bethlehem. In February 2009, when Bev and I were in Israel, Bethlehem was under the hate-filled Palestinian control, and Jews were not allowed into the city. Jews not allowed in the city of Bethlehem. It is under Palestinian control. And so, again, understand that even now with the war waging there in Bethlehem, it's important to understand what's going on. And again, as we watch our own nation wavering its support for Israel in this war, again, understand that it's diabolical. The hatred that we see for Jews is not something we're going to fix by training. It's something, again, that's going to be fixed only when we understand that there is an opposer to God called Satan. And, again, that's not understood at all by anybody I know of in Washington, except a few born-again Christians. Bethlehem, Ephratah, the birthplace of Christ. There's a picture of it as best I could. I labeled every church that was built in that tiny little town of Bethlehem. And all those churches, as best as I could say, are apostate churches, as best as I could understand. There's not apostate, again, another one of them words I need to probably explain. Apostate means they don't believe what they used to believe. A church that's gone apostate has departed from the teachings of the Bible. And so when I say that Protestant churches are apostate, I'm not slamming them or slandering them. I'm just saying, hey, they don't believe the Bible. Well, I guess that's slamming or slandering, but again, to understand that, they are apostate in their core. I'm not saying that they're all lost. There are some good believers that got tangled into some apostate churches. But apostate means, again, a church that has departed from the truth. And so we see again that there, again, all the churches there in Bethlehem. Churches not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the Nativity. And there's a list of them all there that I've given as well. Just to understand that there's precious few teaching the truth. And remember the words of Paul that said, if any man preach any other gospel than the one that's laid out in God's holy word, let him be accursed. And so out of the ashes we find that there comes blessing. Out of the ashes comes fruitfulness. And that is so true, again, there for the nation of Israel, the city of Bethlehem. It says in Zechariah 14:4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. There's coming a day, again, that we're going to find the Lord Jesus Christ returning to that land. And right now, we're looking for his return, and we will meet him in the air. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, without notice, again, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, and it should be a comfort to know that. 1 Corinthians 15 says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Revelation chapter 4, John said it sounded like a trumpet that said, come up hither. And again, in Revelation, we see again the removal of the church and the reestablishment of Israel. And God has promised that he would save Israel. And so as we again walk through Christmas time here, boy, let's just rejoice in what God did to send his son. There's so much depth, again, to looking into the things around the birth of Christ. But more so as you open your vision and look again at everything that was related to the first advent of Christ, as we did a little bit last week. Let's rejoice and let's be his witnesses during this Christmas time. Father, thank you for a little town of Bethlehem. Thank you again, Father, that out of ashes came fruitfulness, that you sent your only begotten Son to be made flesh and dwell among us. We thank you for that and praise you again and thank you as we'd celebrate, that we'd understand the more and speak it out and be heralds again of the gospel that is contained in that wonder. And we'll give you all the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, if we're going to close this service, we have to close it by singing another verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's stand and do just that. 117 in our songbooks. If someone could turn my light back on, I could probably read this book right here. O Little Town of Bethlehem, praise the Lord. And let's go ahead and sing the first and the last verse as we dismiss today. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy darkness shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Lord bless you for being in worship today. There's cookies, homemade cookies. And I'll thank you for eating them all before we take any more of them home, because I'm trying to lose some of that. And there's also ornaments. I think everyone's gotten a Christmas ornament, and appreciate again. That's right from Israel where we went. Actually, from Bethlehem, we bought them. No, we bought them in March, didn't we?
Yeah, in March.
Or did we buy them in November in Bethlehem? I think we did buy them in Bethlehem in the olive wood. So, Lord bless you for worshiping today. Yes.
That is very hard for me to read.
Oh, yeah.
From way over here?
Yeah.
You know, but is there a way you can make it be bigger? I strain to try to see it.
Yeah, I can put it on your phone.
You can't make that any bigger? With fonts and stuff?
No.
Really?
Not with all the pictures. I mean, these are slides I put together to go through it.
No, I know, but I used to work in, like, secretarial, and you used to be able to play with fonts and make them bigger.
Yeah, I probably could. But I got 300 slides, so I probably won't get it done this year.
300 slides, you mean things are repeated, you mean?
300 of these Advent slides.
Okay, because I just wanted you to know. I don't know if anybody ever told you that, but
yeah,
it's really hard for me to see it. And I just had my eyes checked a year ago, so I don't think it's my eyes. Dave said he can see it, but I don't.
Yeah,
he's up higher, whatever the reason. I don't know. Anyway.
Really? They couldn't see me, so I get down. I'm like, okay, we're good. Sure enough, they put the floor.